Well, God bless you all tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. I want to thank Bob and Jeannie and Barney and Vicki for the privilege it is to share God's Word with you tonight. And I'd like to share on the subject of our faithful God, our Father. As a child raised in the Roman Catholic Church, I began attending the Stations of the Cross as a first grader when I was 6 years old. I remember as we walked around inside the church and stood and looked at the sculptured depictions of the Lord's trial and crucifixion, that my initial reaction was horror at seeing the torture that Jesus endured. The question on my mind from that young age was, why did Jesus have to die? To me, for him to undergo such a humiliating and torturous death was beyond cruel. Yet in my heart, I knew that God wasn't cruel. After all, I also learned the story about the Lord's glorious resurrection, so I knew that something had to be up. And the answer to my question is something that God has been showing me over the course of time, faithfully revealing more layers of significance to the Lord's death. I recently saw something from a different perspective regarding the Lord's death, resurrection, and the outpouring of Holy Spirit that I'd like to share with you. When I began to understand these scriptures, my heart was flooded with even more love and thanksgiving for our Father and for the Lord Jesus Christ. So we're going to start in Psalm 89, and for the sake of time, I won't read the entire psalm, but I encourage you to go and read it when you have the opportunity. But we'll read verse 1, and I'm reading from the Amplified. I will sing of the mercy and loving kindness of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known your faithfulness from generation to generation. Keep that phrase in mind, generation to generation. Now skip down to verse 14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and loving kindness and truth go before your face. So what is the foundation of God's throne? Righteousness and justice. Foundation means a fixed place. An example of the use of this word is in Psalm 104. Let's turn there. Psalm 104, verse 5. Again, I'm reading from the Amplified. You laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be moved forever. So I'd say the foundations of the earth are a fixed place, wouldn't you? So God laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. And we also read that righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Yes, God is a judge in whose face are mercy and loving kindness and truth, but righteousness and judgment are the foundation. So when Adam sinned and transferred his rights to the devil, the enemy really thought he had gained an advantage. He knew that God would not be able to compromise his justice to show mercy to mankind. God's justice required that sin be punished. Ezekiel chapter 18 is another section of scripture that is worth reading in its entirety, Ezekiel chapter 18, but we're going to read a few verses from this section. So in Ezekiel chapter 18, starting in verse 4, it says, "Behold, all souls are mine, as the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." Verse 5, verse 5, but if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and then verses 6 down to 8, he describes what is lawful and right. And then in verse 9, he says, this man is just. He is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Yet what man is able to do all of the things that are described in those verses? There is none. And that was the problem. No one could meet this standard to be righteous. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. We know that the devil had a field day racking and ruining the lives of men, small and great, for generation upon generation. Though he heard the prophecy about the coming Redeemer, he had been successful at bringing down even the greatest of the men who walked with God. For example, David and Moses and Samson. The sin nature made it so easy for him. Romans chapter 3 verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There was not one exception until enter Jesus Christ. Here is a man who always did the Father's will and who the devil was unsuccessful at getting to follow. He tried everything. Temptations in the wilderness, scribes and Pharisees setting traps for him, bickering, whining, and contentious disciples. He tried it all. Yet none of these things that had tripped up other men who had walked with God had been able to cause the Lord to stumble. Finally, the devil decided, I'll just kill him. But he forgot about one thing. Righteousness and judgment are the foundation of God's throne. Jesus was tried in the devil's courtroom and unjustly sentenced to crucifixion. Deuteronomy 17:6 says, at the mouth of two witnesses or three shall he that is worthy of death be put to death, but at the mouth of one witness he shall not be put to death. Mark 14:55, however, says, and the chief priests and all the council sought for witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. They didn't even find one witness. They found none. So the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified without just cause. He had no sin. Unbeknownst to the devil, Jesus took all of God's wrath for sin and carried away our sickness, disease, and poverty. Then once God's judgment had been completely meted out, he gave up his life. Luke 23, verse 46, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend or give to you for protection and safety my spirit. And having thus said, he gave up the ghost. He breathed his last breath. By the way, the Lord obviously still had physical strength at this point if he could cry out with a loud voice. What an amazing man he was and still is. So then we know that he was buried by Joseph of Arimathea and later reburied by Nicodemus. So here's the question. Knowing that Jesus carried with him everything that was against us when he was laid in the grave, that is sin, sickness, disease, pain, poverty, what is the greatest significance of his resurrection? At first we might think to show God's power over death. But that had already been displayed during his earthly ministry with Lazarus and Jairus' daughter and the young man at Nain? Before I answer that question, let me paint you a picture. Before I do, I ask you, just roll with me, okay? Many of us know Barney and Bob, right? Let's say that Barney is feeling spunky one day and isn't thinking straight and decides to rob a bank. Not being a skilled bank robber, he manages to get away with only $500, but he is caught, tried, and sentenced to 10 days in prison. Bob, being the faithful friend to Barney that he is, offers to do Barney's prison sentence for him. Now, while Bob is busy sporting an orange jumpsuit and stamping out license plates, what is Barney's status? He's a criminal, right? But what happens the day that Bob gets released from prison after having done the sentence? Barney is free. His crime has been paid for, and he is judged righteous. He can no longer be charged with that crime because Bob did the time. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 25. Who, speaking of Jesus Christ, was delivered for our offenses and raised again on account of our justification. Christ was raised from the dead free from sin, sickness, disease, and poverty. When he was raised, we were raised with him. We are as righteous and free from the consequences of sin as Jesus himself. The devil can no longer accuse you because you are no longer guilty. The resurrection signifies that we are freed from sin. God had made a way to forgive sins righteously and justly, the foundation of his throne. He did not compromise even a little bit. The devil, who thinks he's so smart, played right into God's hands. So the enemy had to regroup and figure out a new strategy to hinder the purposes of God. Once the Lord was taken up to heaven, he had the apostles behind closed doors for fear. He must have figured that, well, fear still works. But then on the day of Pentecost, something happened. These men who had been huddled up behind closed doors because of fear went to the temple and there received Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. After this, Peter stood up and gave a bold, extemporaneous sermon. The dude was on fire. Something major had changed. Had the devil known that Holy Spirit was going to be poured out on those who believed on Jesus Christ, he never would have crucified Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:8 tells us this truth. He would have rather dealt with one Jesus Christ than many, many sons of God. So why is this manifestation of speaking in tongues so important? Because God wants us to always know that we are his and know that the things he has given us through Jesus Christ are our present reality in this world where we are constantly being tempted to doubt. You see, the enemy hasn't given up, but every time we speak in tongues, we bear witness with God that we are his children. In other words, it takes two credible witnesses to attest to the truth of something. God has said in his word that we are his children and that he desires that we speak in tongues. That's one witness. When we step out and do this impossible thing and speak fluently in a language we don't know, we are the second witness. We are indeed his children. I found an interesting fact about paternity tests. In a paternity test, it is conducted by taking cells from the mouth of the father and the mouth of the child, just as we bear witness by the words from God's mouth, we speak words from our own mouths. Pretty interesting, eh? So God remained faithful to himself, faithful to his promise to send a redeemer, and remains ever faithful to us at all times. He is unstumpable. And when we stick close to him and to our Lord who obeyed him perfectly in everything, we too will be unstumpable. So never be discouraged if things don't always look like you are winning. If God promised you the victory is yours when you hold fast to what he said. Why? Because he is faithful. God bless you.